Good morning, Nick the Vic here, and welcome once again to our audio worship for Sunday the 2nd of August. So let's begin with a prayer together. Living God, as we gather together to worship, we thank you that you are already here, and not just here with us in this moment, but in every moment and every part of our lives. So help us to listen and to learn. Help us to grow in faith, hope, and love. Help us to recognize your presence and to live each moment conscious that you are by our side. To your praise and glory. Amen. Well, our gospel lesson for today comes from Matthew, chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. And we pick up the account just after Jesus has heard of the death of John the Baptist. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. There was a nervous young minister, new to the church, who stood up at the front on his first Sunday. Looking out at the congregation, he was suddenly gripped with nerves and said, "Today we'll be thinking about how Jesus fed 5 people with 5,000 loaves of bread and 2,000 fish." Well, the man in the congregation, sitting 3 rows back, sniggered at the minister's mistake, raised his hand and said, "Hey, that's not much of a trick, Rev. I could do that myself." Well, the minister went bright red with embarrassment but didn't respond. However, the next Sunday, he got himself together and decided to try again. This time, he did it properly. "Today, we'll be thinking about how Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish." Smiling, the minister looked towards the heckler from last week and said, "And well, Mr. Perkins, could you do that?" Well, the man was unfazed and chirped back, "No problem." "What do you mean?" said the exasperated minister. "How would you do it?" The man beamed and replied, "With all the food I had left over from last Sunday." Well, when we read the account of the feeding of the 5,000 in Mark's Gospel, in Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 44, we discover that he includes a number of details that Matthew doesn't. Now, one of these details is the fact that, according to Mark, the people sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Now, you might just think, well, big deal. You know, it's not really that important, so Matthew just misses it out. But in that case, then, it's a good thing we have Mark. He's the only gospel writer who records this detail and gives us a window into what Jesus thought he was doing when he fed the 5,000. This is so much more than just an eat-as-much-as-you-like miracle. There is something far more important going on here. When the Jewish rabbis or teachers were trying to interpret a passage of the Hebrew Bible what we would call the Old Testament. One of the tools they would often use is called the principle of first reference. The rabbis would look back to see where a word, a phrase, or an idea was first used in the scriptures. They would then use the context and meaning of that first reference to help them understand a later passage. Now, when you take the phrase hundreds and fifties from Mark's account, you find that there are only three other references in the whole Bible, and the first two are found in Exodus chapter 18. So I'm going to read to you Exodus 18 verses 13 to 24. This is the account of Moses getting a visit from his father-in-law Jethro. At this time, if the people had a problem or an argument, they would take it to Moses to sort out, and he would spend all day trying to do this for everyone, just him on his own. It was a very heavy workload, and so Jethro had a suggestion for him. I read from verse 13. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he says, "What is this that you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it's brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions, and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." So when we return to the feeding of the 5,000, we notice that Jesus doesn't just do it all himself. He gives thanks and breaks the bread, but then he gives it all to his disciples. He trusts them with the distribution of the bread and the fish, just like the judges appointed by Moses over the hundreds and fifties. In both texts, the people go home satisfied. But who is this miracle really for? Well, I would suggest that it is Jesus' disciples who are the ones who are supposed to get it. A bit like the water into wine at Cana, when the result is that the disciples put their faith in him, here the point is not a free feed from Jesus the miracle worker, it's again targeted at the disciples. In fact, it's the next step in their training program. The story is all about sharing the work of ministry. Jesus entrusts his disciples with the task of ministry. He still does. He spends time with them, mentors them, trains them up, and then he sends them out to do it, and he trusts them to get on with it. And a final thought. In this changed world that we find ourselves living in, as we prepare to be the Church of Jesus Christ in a different way than we had imagined before, our great challenge will be how we share the work of ministry. Jesus came preaching a message of good news, and pretty much the first thing he did was to pick some people to help share it with him. We will need to support one another, to learn from one another, and to trust one another as we share together in this same work of ministry. But God is good and provides abundantly. The 12 baskets left over are meant to spell out in capital letters that the people of Israel, the 12 tribes, can be a blessing and give freely and yet still be satisfied themselves. God's provision is enough for everyone if the blessed ones are prepared to share their blessings. Amen. And so let's share in our prayers of intercession. And there is a short response that you might like to join in with. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for your church and for its ministry in the world. May we be a source of love and hope and comfort. May we be a source of compassion and challenge and inspiration. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. May your followers in every place find the faith and the courage, the vision and the commitment to live as beatitude people, people who are blessed so that they may bless others, poor and humble in spirit, merciful in attitude, pure in heart, hungry for peace and thirsty for righteousness. And so, as individuals and together, may your church testify to your redeeming love and renewing power. May we speak through word and deed of your care for all, your desire for justice, and your willingness to always be merciful. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those who share the work of ministry. Lord, lead us and guide us to be the church you would have us be in this day. Give us the faith and the courage to grapple with the challenges that lie before us. Give us the ability to listen and discern what you are saying to us, and the strength and resolve to make decisions and act on them. Help us also to catch a glimpse of the new horizons and the fresh opportunities that are presenting themselves. Help us not just to see what we've left behind, but the promise that stretches out ahead of us. Help us to share together in the work of Jesus, that others might hear of our experience of your goodness and about the difference that you make to our lives, and might meet the living Christ for themselves. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And so, Lord, we pray for our world, the world in which we live and are called to serve, the world you gave your life to save, in all its beauty and brokenness. And so we silently lift up before God our cares and concerns. Living Lord God, we place these prayers for these, your children, into your loving and capable hands, in the knowledge that you've heard us, and in the faith that you will answer us, according to your will, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We share together in the prayer that Jesus gave us, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We're going to finish by singing hymn number 411, 411, in Singing the Faith, a lovely hymn called May the God of Hope Go With Us Every Day. And please join in if you wish.
Hope go with us every day, filling all our lives with love and joy and peace. May the God of justice speed us on our way, bringing light and hope to every land and race. Praying, let us work for peace. Singing, share our joy with all. Working for a world that's new, faithful when we hear Christ's call. God will be our shepherd as we go our way, and will not forsake us when we go astray. Even though the load of life is hard to bear, we must not forget that God is always there. Praying, let us work for peace. Singing, share our joy with all. Working for a world that's new, faithful when we hear Christ's call. Praying, let us work for peace. Singing, share our joy with all. Working for a world that's new, faithful when we hear Christ's call.
Finally, let us bless one another with the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. And for a more light-hearted take on John's version of the feeding of the 5,000, then please check out Stories of Hope number 5 at nickthevic.co.uk. God bless you. Stay safe. See you soon. Bye-bye for now.